Please pray with me. Father, your holy word to us this morning is both encouraging and sobering. So, as we reflect on your holy word, we pray for a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us now. Open our ears, hearts, minds, and even our bodies so that we can both hear and experience things that you want us to understand. We thank you for calling your people here so that we can better know you, love you, and serve you, so that we can be built up into courageous, authentic Christ followers. All this we ask in Jesus' most holy name, and all God's people said, Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. He preached, saying, After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Hear also these words from God from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 18. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of the Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Every once in a while, I get together with some pastor friends, and we ask each other, among many other things, what we'll be preaching about. One pastor said that they'll be preaching on comfort. And I said I wanted to preach on comfort. But as I've been praying with the Holy Scriptures this week, that is not exactly where the Lord God has led me. And so, even though our Lord and Savior, God, offers comfort, great comfort, that is not the central theme of our message today that the Lord has been working on me. The theme that the Lord God has been placing on my heart regarding our Holy Scripture is time. Perhaps significantly, why does God give you and me time? What is the purpose of time? This theme of time comes to mind because of two main reasons. The first is that is this challenging reading from 2 Peter, in which time seems to be a central theme within it. As it says, "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be?" The second reason that I think that God has put the theme of time on my heart is because a rather tough funeral that I officiated a few years ago has recently come to mind. A few years ago, I buried a man named Tom. He was a good man and in good health, and only 51 years old. While he was out on his daily 3-mile walk, he suddenly fell and hit his head, only one house from his own. And then he was laid to rest. Friends, no one is old enough to die. Every funeral is tough. I don't know what it was, but it seemed like that year, many people were dying way too young, and I buried way too many young people. Family of God, we don't know when the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The only thing I know about my time is that today I am one day closer to standing face to face in front of Jesus than I was yesterday. So why does God give the gift of time? Among many possible answers, I would like us to ponder three biblical answers. So first, the first reason that God gives us time is so that you and I might know God. One primary purpose of time is that you and I would get to know God. And while our personal experiences are significant, getting to know God through His holy word and His faithful and traditional church is vastly more important. That appropriate way of getting to know God takes time and effort. And it might be worth asking ourselves this Advent season, do I know God better and more profoundly today than I did last year? Has our friendship with God indeed grown? And are we making time each and every day to get to know the Lord? And if not, why not? And if not, are we willing to do it? I know that in the past, I have issued a challenge to spend at least 10 minutes a day, just 10 minutes alone with the Lord daily, conversing alone with the Lord daily by reading the Holy Scriptures and praying to Him would be worthwhile this Advent season. A couple of years ago, I spoke at a few men's conferences, and I encouraged the men to spend at least an hour conversing with the Lord daily. The Lord has somewhat rebuked me for that challenge. The image that I like to use to express this is that I used to love to run. I was somewhat a quick runner when I was younger, especially in high school. So I would run 2 miles in less than 9 minutes and 50 seconds, which meant that only a few people would run with me. And I didn't ask people to run with me, and I certainly wouldn't ask someone who had never run before to run with me. So as I was reflecting on inviting people, you and me, to spend time with God during the season of Advent by reading God's holy word and praying to Him, I did not feel right asking you to run a marathon with me and spend an hour each and every day with God, even though that would be a very good thing. But we all have 10 minutes, do we not? And if we give the Lord 10 minutes every day to be in conversation with Him and to ask the Holy Spirit who dwells in us to help us to get to know Him more, then I promise you that come Christmas, which begins on December 25th, something will be different. Because God is faithful, my friends, and more than we want to know Him, God wants to be known. That is why He came, and that is why He's still going to come. A second reason that God gives us time is so that we will change. Repent. As John the Baptist, by the guidance of God, calls us to do in the Gospel of Mark. Then Jesus, God in the flesh, our Lord, our God, and our King, continues to tell His people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This means that we would know God's moral law. And that, too, takes time to get to know God's moral law. And if we find or sense that we are breaking God's moral law by walking in this direction, we would then turn in the direction of God and walk away from sin. In this, we are meant to consider those places in our lives where we don't think like God thinks, as His holy word proclaims to us, so that we can reflect on those pet sins that we all have, that we have just accepted in our lives, and in doing so, that we have given up on trying to walk away from those sins in our lives. Maybe there's a broken relationship in your life, broken by sin, that you know that God wants you to repair. So make an effort to fix that relationship. Walk towards God. One of the devil's and hell's most subtle, effective lies is this. There's plenty of time. What's the rush? Enjoy today. Do whatever floats your boat. But the Lord promises, and Peter reminds us, that God will come like a thief in the night. Honestly, you and I don't know if there is time. And we wrongly believe that God will take care of such things, which is our responsibility. Instead, such things bring about judgment, as the Lord tells us. All that we know is that we have today, now. And so, will we take that time? Will we take that opportunity to change our lives as God desires and to change our surroundings for the better? And finally, a third biblical reason that God has given us time is so that we will change the world in which we live, especially the immediate world in which we live. Your city, neighbors, family, friends, and even your enemies, my world and your world. And this is where comfort comes in. It might be worth asking the Lord Jesus this week to put in our minds one person that we know who needs encouragement. Perhaps someone who is discouraged or grieving right now. Someone who is out of work. Someone who is struggling with illness or sickness. And as we ask the Lord to put that person in our minds, so too do we ask for the grace and the power and the courage to reach out to that person and be an instrument of God's comfort and an instrument of godly encouragement to them. The Lord makes abundantly clear in His Holy Scriptures that His desire is for many to be saved. That is what God wants. That is why He gives us time. And He is patient. He's calling us to Himself. But may we, you and me, act on that time. Let's pray for God's guidance, power, and grace to use today well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, like John the Baptist, we ask that You would send us out in Your power and guidance and grace so that we may be messengers for You to other people. We ask, O Lord, that we would be a part of Your people who prepare Your way, that we too would be a voice that is crying out to the wilderness of this dry land and souls that are before us who do not know You. We ask that we would have the courage to tell of and show of the need for repentance so that paths are made straight. We also ask that we would be a voice of encouragement, of love, of kindness, of grace, and of expectant joy, because, Lord, You give us hope. Lord, we await Your coming. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.